Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all to another Bible study at the Grace Community Church. Today is Wednesday. It's our midweek service. And we're continuing our study and our series on how to study the Bible or studying the Bible. And you know, we've reached a very interesting aspect. Not to say the other parts were not interesting. They were. But a more practical aspect of the study. And last week, we actually looked at methods of study. And if you remember well, last week we basically looked at three methods of study. We looked at book study, topical study, and the last was character study. I miss physical gatherings, because you can't be sure that for those who would be present at this kind of service, I would probably be asking people in the audience to remind us of what they've learned. And it was always great to have people who were regular in midweek service, people like Diolajide's, Nimi, to remind us of different things that they had learned. Of course, not forgetting Mr. Ni Oladeji, Pastor Ayo, Pastor Ebu, Mr. Oloede, And the other people who are usually regular. And we look forward to a time when we'll be able to gather together again to have these physical meetings. But between now and then, we'll make do with being able to communicate and to reach out to everyone on this channel. Okay, so the types or the methods of study that we looked at were book study, where we study a book of the Bible, do some background study and all of that. And then the other one was a topical study, where we study different topics, going through different passages. Remember that. And then the final one was a character study. So today I want us to proceed as we start looking at this broad topic of materials for study. So, you know, whichever kind of study you want to do, whether it's a book study, a topical study, or a character study, what are the materials that would aid us in our study? And so that's where we would move on to. And of course, the very first material that is essential for Bible study is the Bible itself. Yeah, it makes sense, right? If we're going to study the Bible, then the first material that you need for study is the Bible itself. So the first thing I'll say is that you need to get a Bible. Or better still, if possible, own more than one Bible version or Bible translation. The truth is that it will be very helpful to have at least two versions or translations, so that as you study, you can compare various expressions used by the different translators. And many times it helps us to see more clearly and to come to better understanding of the passages of Scripture. Okay, so it's at this point that we would look at Bible translations. And so it's important to remind us again that the original languages in which the texts of the books of the Bible were written were Hebrew, majorly for the Old Testament, only a few parts were Aramaic, and then Greek. So all those original writings have had to be transformed from the source language into other languages. And that process of transforming the original text or the original writings from the source languages, so Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, into other languages, is translation. And it's important for us to listen carefully to this session. You know, I believe it's really going to be helpful. How do we choose a Bible? How do you choose a Bible translation? You know, I said you should get a Bible, or better still, perhaps have more than one Bible version or more than one Bible translation. So at least two. So even if you're getting only one, or whether you're getting more than one, it is an important decision to make. And I believe that this session is going to be very, very helpful to many of us. Now, the next few things I'm going to try and explain may be best understood when you listen to them repeatedly. Or if we can provide, I hope we can do that, provide some form of visual aid, you know, not a video, but perhaps, you know, put up some kind of document, maybe a PDF document that will then circulate subsequently after this session so that people can review it. Now, there are three main approaches for Bible translations. There are three main approaches for Bible translations. I'll mention them very quickly and then describe them. The first is what is called formal equivalence. Formal equivalence. For those who are taking notes, formal equivalence. The second one is what is called dynamic, or sometimes called functional equivalence. The second is dynamic or functional equivalence. And then the third is what is called a paraphrase. A paraphrase, or some people call paraphrase a free translation. Let me go over it again. The first is formal equivalence. The second is dynamic or functional equivalence. And then the third is paraphrase or free translation. So let's now quickly look at these translation approaches. Now, formal equivalence. These translations are as close to word-for-word translations of the original languages into the receptor language. So, each word is translated into the corresponding word in the receptor language. So, for instance, if you have the Old Testament portion of the Bible that was written in Hebrew, so they'll take a verse of scripture, and then the Hebrew word that means a particular thing is translated into the English word that means what that Hebrew word means. Okay? So it's almost a word-for-word translation of the original language into the receptor language while still trying to maintain the readability of the translated text. So in other words, these translations attempt to keep the exact words and phrases of the original languages. These translations try to remain faithful to the original text. But because they're almost a word-for-word translation, they are sometimes hard to understand. Examples of translations that employ this approach are the popular King James Version, the KJV, and even the New King James Version, the NKJV. Others include the Revised Standard Version, that's the RSV, and the New Revised Standard Version. You also have the American Standard Version, that's the ASV, and then the New American Standard Bible, NASB, that was like building on the ASV. We also have the English Standard Version, that's the ESV. And then, strangely enough, the Amplified Bible is also a translation that is based on formal equivalence. You know, growing up as a Christian, I would have thought that the Amplified Bible was not. I would have thought it was a different kind of translation. But it is. The only difference with the Amplified Bible is that the Amplified Version then has several words supplied as alternate words in the English language for those words, right? But it is still a translation that follows the formal equivalence approach. Let me say it again. Formal equivalence. These translations are almost a word-for-word translation of the original language. And so, they attempt to keep the exact words and phrases of the original languages. And I've said the examples are KJV, the New King James, the RSV, the New RSV, the ASV, and the NASB, that's the New American Standard Bible, and then the ESV, the English Standard Version, and also the Amplified Version. Okay, so the next one, if you remember, is the Dynamic Equivalence Approach. Now, these translations, I said they are also sometimes called functional equivalents. Now, these translations are less formal than the formal equivalence approach, and they intend to convey the meaning of the text. And so, rather than being word for word translations, they are a thought for thought translation. So rather than just picking the word and attempting to translate it into, for instance, you pick a Hebrew word, and rather than try to translate it just directly into the English word, what they do is that they take the text and try and translate the thoughts of the Hebrew text into what the English language would express it as. And so they focus on the function of the text rather than on the original form. And the reason they do this is so that they can have a greater impact on the modern audience. In the same way as the original text would have had an impact on the original readers. Examples of these translations that follow this dynamic equivalence or functional equivalence approach are translations like the NIV, the New International Version, the Good News Bible, the GNB, and the New Century Version, NCV. Others are the New Living Translation, NLT. And you see, I'll say something about the NLT at this point. You see, earlier, as a Christian, because I was used to the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, I assumed, just hearing the name, that the New Living Translation would be like a paraphrase like the Living Bible. But I was wrong. And so the NLT, the New Living Translation, is also one of the dynamic equivalence translations. Now, some translations seem to be like a blend of both word for word and thought for thought approach. So a Bible like, or a version like the New English Translation and the Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB, are like a blend of word for word and thought for thought approach, although they swing more towards being a thought for thought approach. You see why I said you'll need to listen to it over and over, right? Now, the third one. So, we've talked about the formal equivalence. Don't forget, formal equivalence, you can equate it to a word-for-word translation. Dynamic equivalence, you can equate it to a thought-for-thought translation. And then the third one that I said is a paraphrase. And these are also sometimes called free translations. Now, these ones are different, because they are attempts by the author to convey his own understanding of the meaning of the text. And so, paraphrases are more like an elaboration of the author's ideas from the text without being constrained by the original words or language. And so, essentially, paraphrases not only do a translation of the Bible for you, but many times they also actually provide an interpretation of the text to you. And of course, the most common examples of paraphrases are the Living Bible that I mentioned earlier, the J.B. Phillips, and then the Message. Now, let us pick a verse in the Bible and illustrate how the different translations may read slightly differently. And we will just pick one translation from each of these three groups so that you can start to see the point. The verse of scripture that I want to use as an example is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, because I think that this verse of scripture is one of those passages that clearly illustrates the differences in these different translation approaches. Okay, Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, you know, of course, I'm going to pick the KJV. Don't forget, the KJV is an example of the formal equivalence. And the KJV says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, that's a verse of scripture that I learned over the years and I can, you know, I can recite probably in my sleep. KJV. I'll quote it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the KJV. Now let us read this passage or this verse of scripture from a translation in the Dynamic Equivalence Group. And I'm going to pick the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, New Living Translation. And it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. I'll read it again. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now let us go to the third group, and that is the paraphrase. And for this verse, we will read it from the Message. This is what the Message says. So here is what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. I'll read it again. So here is what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. You see, immediately you can start to see the differences in the different translations. They're obviously different. Different focus. And by the time you get to the translation in the paraphrase, the Message, you can see that the Message or that version is already introducing an interpretation or the author's interpretation of the verse already. And so, personally, I do most of my study using two translations. And what I do is I pick one version from the formal equivalence group. And so usually I pick the good old KJV, since I know and learned and memorized most of the scriptures in the KJV. However, I'm gradually gravitating towards the ESV and the NASB. Okay. I still use the KJV a lot because one of the reasons I use the KJV a lot is because I have a study material that gives me an access to the original words in Hebrew or Greek, and this is only linked to the KJV version, okay? And so I picked the KJV, for instance, in the formal equivalence group, and then I pick one from the dynamic equivalence group. In the past, my stable dynamic equivalence translation was the NIV. But more and more, I have moved towards the NLT and the HCSB. That's the New Living Translation and the Holman Christian Standard Bible. In fact, I recently bought a new study Bible that is actually a New Living Translation. Okay? All right. And so my recommendation, if you were to ask me, is that for new believers or people who are just getting into serious Bible study, if they are going to pick only one translation or only one Bible, it probably may be most suitable for them to start with a Bible translation in the dynamic equivalence group. So Bibles like the NIV, the NLT, the HCSB, the Good News Bible, the New English Translation, you know, any of those, because of readability, it's easier to read, easier to read. However, as people become more invested in Bible study, they need to gradually move towards the formal equivalence group so that they can on their own start to do word studies. You know, I didn't mention word study last week, right? But actually, as you begin to do a book study and you do a verse by verse study of the Bible, it will get to a time where you have to then start looking at meanings of words. And the best Bibles to use, the best translations to use in that scenario will probably be a Bible from the formal equivalence group, because they are word for word translations, okay? So for people who are more familiar with Bible study, or people who now get more familiar with Bible study, then it will be good for them, good for us, to have one translation each from the formal equivalence group and then another translation from the dynamic equivalence group. That will be most helpful. Now, I do not recommend the use of paraphrases as the basic translation that we use for study. You see, because essentially what you'll be getting is the author's own idea of what that verse or that passage means. I'll say that again. I do not recommend the use of a paraphrase as the basic translation for study, because essentially what you'll be getting will be the author's own idea of what that verse or that passage means. And that's not really what you want. You want to study the Bible for yourself. Am I saying paraphrases are not useful? No, of course they are useful, especially when you want to see what a particular person thinks about a verse. And the truth is, some Bible verses actually sound very poetic with a lot of aesthetic styling in some of the paraphrase versions. Think of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we read. And actually, earlier in life, especially when I was in the uni, I read the Living Bible translation copiously. And of course, even now, many people are quite familiar with the Message translation by Eugene Peterson, you know. And so, this, I believe, is a basic guide to Bible translations and how to choose a Bible translation. The good thing is that we now have many translations available electronically, and it means that many different translations are more accessible to us than it was in the past. You know, I remember back then, you know, growing up as a young believer, you'd have to have more than one translation. Was it cost a lot. So you'd buy the KJV and then try and get an NIV, and perhaps you and your friends would share some Bibles, you know. Oh my God. I remember the Dix Annotated Study Bible. You'd have to borrow it. And I remember when we were in the university, to even get a Darby translation, we like the Darby translation. We would look for it, long for it. And so having different translations was a big deal. Big deal. But you see, now these different translations are most times available on the same device, on the same gadget. And with just one touch of a button, you can switch from version to version on the same device. And so it may not cost you anything extra. However, what you now need to do is to choose wisely what translations you'll be using, and then go ahead and study. All right. So we'll stop here today. At least we've covered the issue of different Bible translations and how to choose a translation for study. And next week, we'll then look at the issue of other materials for study. We'll talk about study Bibles, we'll talk about commentaries, we'll talk about concordances and daily guides, devotionals and things like that. Okay, I really hope you've had a great time this evening. Don't forget, you can always ask questions on the church WhatsApp group, or you can contact any of the pastors directly, and I'll be glad to provide answers to your questions. Please join us on Friday as we pray at 9:45 p.m. here on this channel, and then join us on Sunday, our regular service, as we continue on the series on the spiritual home. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Bye.